There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. The season is 61 days away when IU will kick off against Florida International September 1st down in Miami. So we're gearing up. Once again, we'll be expanding our coverage to nationwide. We just love college football. We want to look at other conferences as well as the Big Ten. So I think to get our feet wet into our national previews, we're going to start with the ACC and the SEC this evening with TJ Inman when he comes along. And we'll look at different things, most interesting teams, teams that could be sleepers, best uniforms, best place to tailgate, you know, places you want to go, and then division winners. We'll do it in three episodes. Today we're doing the ACC and SEC. Next week we'll do Big 12 and Pac-12. And then we'll do a group of five. I believe in the ACC we will be breaking down Notre Dame as well. And we'll get right into that. So for Sammy Jacobs, and here's TJ Inman. TJ, almost football season. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're humming right along already into July, so I know it's a great time for us to get rolling. Some positive IU football recruiting momentum here in the past couple of weeks, and I have a gut feeling, no inside info from me, but it seems like IU's turning in the right direction with a couple of their top targets, J.D. Duplain, offensive lineman, and then Jordan Jakes, wide receiver. So maybe some additional commits coming soon, we hope. And but I know you're excited to get this going, ACC and SEC. I am as well, you know, definitely hitting a couple of the big conferences here. To start things off.
Yeah, and to talk about IU recruiting just a little bit, that nine commit week happened while I was in Greece. Committed while I was at a wedding. So I think Tom Allen and his staff need to send me on more excursions. That way more kids will commit.
I know.
I think we found a cause and effect, and Bo Robbins committed while I was in Las Vegas at a bachelor party. So you know, a little cause and effect here. So if Indiana wants to send me on another trip to get, you know, coincidentally get commits, I'm all for it. All right, TJ, back. Let's get down to the ACC. Just one note, best non-conference games for these two conferences today. It was really difficult to pick one out. There's just not a – wasn't a good slate that jumped off of there. But anyway, let's go to the ACC. Who is your most interesting team in the ACC?
Yeah, I mean, this is a fairly stable conference, which, for better or worse, I feel like the pecking order in this conference is kind of established right now. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room, in my opinion, from your haves and your have-nots. Now, for me, the most interesting is a program that could, you know, upset the apple cart a little bit and return status, which they were not separated from for very long, and that's Florida State. Jimbo Fisher left there after a disastrous season last year. Now, how much of that was the players kind of feeling like Jimbo had one foot out the door? So they checked out, and how much of that was a talent drain? How much of that was locker room problems? Who knows? You know, we're not Florida State insiders. We don't know, but that team was a real mess last year. Willie Taggart has come in and changed a lot about that program. They're going to an up-tempo offense. Willie Taggart certainly relies on the running game, and they've got Cam Akers. There is a a potential star, breakout player this season. Kind of a rebuild on defense. They don't return a ton in terms of star power there. And then at quarterback, you've got a big question mark because of Francois' legal issues. So I think there's a lot there. Can they catch Clemson? Not this year. No, they cannot. But can they begin to lay the groundwork? Because he's recruiting really well. Taggart has surrounded himself. One, he's a Florida guy. And two, he's surrounded himself with some really top-notch Florida recruiters that I think are going to have Florida State from a talent perspective. They'll be, I don't know how many years it'll take to get to where Clemson is, but it won't take long for Tiger to do it in that area. So I'm really interested to see if Florida State can establish the groundwork, get back to like an 8 or 9 win team and begin to set themselves up to catch Clemson. I know that Florida State fans really like Taggart right now, but Clemson's coming, and Florida State fans are not going to accept second place. That's not going to be good enough for them. So how long does Taggart have to get it going?
Yeah, I picked the same team as you, TJ, and Florida State, the coaching change. They had a lot of injuries last year. It's a team that probably shouldn't have gone to a bowl game last year. They had to reschedule an FCS game, I believe, just to get that sixth win on the schedule, and then beat ULM in whatever bowl they went to, the Independence Bowl. Sorry, not ULM. Beat Southern Miss in the Independence Bowl. They played ULM to get that sixth win. Coaching changes are always a little tricky, even though, you know, at Florida State, how much of this, you know, with Jimbo Fisher, how much of it was, did he have one foot out the door? You know, Taggart's coming in from Oregon, runs a different kind of offense, likes to run the ball, likes to go up tempo. But, you know, there's usually a year or two where you have to get your recruits in, and maybe Florida State stumbled a little bit in recruiting last year. And all that, but they still had a top 20 class or so, and they'll be okay. The big thing is their schedule. They out of the chute, they get Virginia Tech at home, and then you play Stanford at Syracuse and Northern Illinois. The month of September is pretty. If you could get past Virginia Tech, who should be pretty decent, you should get out of September all right. And then you host Clemson October 27th, and then things get a little tricky. You have to go to NC State. We'll talk about them here in a little bit. And then you have to go to Notre Dame. And those two games, that three-game stretch, October 27th, November 3rd, and November 10th, will determine the fate of Florida State. You know, if you beat Clemson and NC State, now you're talking maybe a division title, an ACC title game berth, and maybe a berth in the playoffs or spoiling somebody's playoff trip as well. And then, of course, Notre Dame at Notre Dame. That's a marquee matchup. TJ, let's move on to the next one, the best non-conference game. And I really couldn't pick one. Are we counting Notre Dame as an ACC conference team when doing non-con games? Because if so, then you could say Michigan and Notre Dame. But if we're not, I think Florida State at Notre Dame and maybe Miami at LSU at a neutral site to open the season. Those are the two that jump off of there. Yeah, Alabama plays Louisville, but I think Louisville's going to be down. That's a game Alabama opens the season. They went 49-10, and it's just not a good game. Lamar Jackson has graduated, just doesn't have that star power that it would have had a year or two ago. What is your best non-conference game in the ACC?
Well, I think Notre Dame and Michigan is a really good game. But, yeah, I mean, I chose between really only one jumped out to me, and that was Clemson at Texas A&M on September 8th. early season game where you got Jimbo Fisher. Not sure what he has yet at A&M. So that's going to be a good barometer for that program. And then Clemson, I mean, any time you have a team that's a national title contender and a playoff favorite, it goes on the road against a competent opponent you're going to take their best shot. There's going to be a ton of energy around Texas A&M because it is their first big game under Jimbo Fisher. So that one for me is going to be really interesting. That's a somewhat difficult place to go play. I'm sure it's not going to rattle Clemson much, but you know, maybe Trevor Lawrence gets on the field there and we see him under the bright lights for the first time. If not, though, you'll still get Kelly Bryant. So I think that's a really interesting game because if Texas A&M can go out there and win that one, that's a huge feather in the SEC's cap. And for Clemson, it would take away their margin for error the rest of the year. And they'd turn into Aggie fans, really, because a loss there in week number two means, number one, they can't lose any more games likely if they're to get to the playoff. And number two, if A&M were to go on to have a, you know, average season, that might be enough to keep Clemson out of the playoff altogether. Probably not, but might be. So I went with that one. Just, I mean, those are two programs that, you know, hardly ever play. I don't know when that last matchup was. And that should be a pretty cool atmosphere. I like that it's actually on a college campus. That's much preferred for me over kind of the neutral site games you get usually early in the year between two big conferences.
Yeah, I'm all for on-campus games. It's uniquely college football. Am I okay with playing the national title game in a neutral site? Yeah, it's fun. It's great. But these in regular season games, big non-conference games, I think belong on campus. Get the students there.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, otherwise it might as well just go to an NFL game in and around the stadium. So next we have best perform. TJ, I went with Clemson. I believe I picked Clemson last year as well. It's the orange and purple. They do a really good job with paw print there as well. It's just a classic look.
Yep, that's a runner-up for me. My winner, and this would not have been the case with their old color scheme. I kind of hated it, but, you know, make a minor tweak and then go back with an old look, and I'm going to go with Pitt. The Pitt Panthers, they broke out powder blue uniforms with these yellow pants. They have a script Pitt on the helmet, kind of I don't know what the shade of yellow is, but it's a nice yellow.
It's mustard yellow.
Okay, well, whatever it is, it looks good on a helmet. The mustard yellow helmet with their powder blue script Pitt. I really like that look. Clemson is definitely a solid choice. Love their color combination as well. The ACC has a really solid set of uniforms. There aren't hardly any in there that I hate. I think Boston College has nice looking uniforms as well. Florida State combination as well. But I don't think those are bad either. There's a couple that are kind of questionable, like Syracuse throwing a lot of gray into their uniforms, which I don't understand, but overall,
Georgia Tech, Russell Athletic.
Yeah, those are a bit dated looking, but I think overall it's a pretty good conference for uniforms.
Yeah, it is a very good conference for uniforms. Next, we'll go to game day atmosphere, place you want to tailgate at the most. I think I'm going to double in and go Clemson, Death Valley.
Uh-oh.
There again. You know, playoff contender, national title contender.
Yep.
So, you know, if I really got into it and we're breaking down the schedule, there's not really a game that I would want to go to Clemson for over other games. But just seeing Clemson being down there, maybe you go for a game against NC State. That would be a big game, or Louisville, things like that. That would be fun. Just seeing them run down, touch Howard's Rock, run down the hill onto the field,
yep.
and all that stuff.
I had the same answer, and I think it'd be pretty cool to see the November 24th game against their rival South Carolina. I know that the Gamecocks have not necessarily held up their end of the bargain here recently with as good as Clemson has been, but that's still a good rivalry for that state. And South Carolina is going to be, you know, pretty good this season. So they could be playing, you know, a pair of top 25 teams there, with Clemson, of course, having the college football playoff berth still on the line. So, but I would say Clemson, that's just an awesome atmosphere. And, you know, you're probably going to have some pretty good weather. You're in South Carolina. So I think that a conference game or a late season game there where it's not too unbearably hot would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. And then we're going to go sleeper team next, TJ. Who is your sleeper team in the ACC for 2018?
All right. Yeah, Boston College. They return nine starters, basically. So they lost their wide receivers on offense, but their wide receivers, not a huge part of the offense. And the guys coming in to those new starting roles, young player Kobe White, that they like him as their best wide receiver. So I think that's the potential is there for the offense to be better than what it was a season ago. You've got a returning quarterback, Anthony Brown, but the guy that makes that offense tick is sophomore running back A.J. Dillon, ridiculously good player. He had over 1,500 yards last year, and that's with a slow start before they really turned the reins over to him to take things over. It's just a power smash-mouth football team there. The defense, really good up front. Harold Landry is in the NFL now, but, I mean, he was hurt for the latter part of last season, and the defense didn't really miss a beat. A lot of good players there. Special teams, they're kind of weak in that area, but from a strictly power football standpoint, I really like that. They do have a very interesting September 22nd. They travel to Purdue. That's a really, really good non-conference game between two teams that are trying to punch their way up. Purdue certainly with the easier path to do so in the Big Ten West, while Boston College stuck in kind of the powerhouse ACC Atlantic. So they, you know, they do have to play at NC State. They're at Virginia Tech. They're at Florida State. They're against Clemson and Miami at home. So that's a brutal slate, but if you can go to Ross Aid, take that game against Purdue, which will certainly not be easy, that's going to be a good one. You could begin to look at 7 or 8 wins for Boston College, which would be a really nice season for Steve Adazio. And I think that he deserves that because they've had some tough breaks with injuries, unable to kind of break over that 6-win barrier. But I think this year could be the year they do that.
Yeah, and Boston College, I have a couple friends who went there, played there, a friend who now coaches there, and there's a lot of IU ties with Boston College too. Steve Adazio, Justin Fry's the offensive line coach there. He played at IU and things like that. And then they're all, you know, they're after the same type of player too. And they've been a couple of rooting battles over the last couple of years. But as much as I dislike to see a Boston, I find a way to root for Boston College. But anyway, my sleeper team is NC State. It's kind of a light sleeper team, like half awake, half sleeping. But the return, Ryan Finley, who's an outstanding quarterback, threw for over 3,000 yards last year. They have a freshman running back who is in for spring. He was a top 10 running back recruit, according to Phil Steele. Their schedule, they get Florida State at home, they get some matchup games at home. They do play West Virginia in the non-conference game, which is a sneaky good non-conference game. But they open up their first 5 games are James Madison, Georgia State, West Virginia at Marshall, Virginia, which you should be able to get out of that okay. If they could pull an upset, maybe upset Florida State, they could throw a wrench into this ACC Atlantic or Coastal Division, whichever one they're in. The ACC, Atlantic Division just because of that, that they bring back some good guys on defense too. They lose Bradley Chubb, but they bring back Jarius Moorhead, who had 80 tackles last year. Jermaine Pratt at 69 tackles last year. They'll have to rebuild a little bit on defense, but that offense should be pretty good with a 1,000-yard receiver coming back and Kelvin Harmon. Jacoby Myers added another 727 yards. Steven Lewis, another 583 yards. They have a lot of weapons on offense, and if that defense could build in the first two games, get their sea legs under them, they could be a dangerous team in the ACC.
That's really interesting you chose them, because that's my bus team. Now I like NC State's quarterback. I think Finley's really good, and I like their wide receivers. I think that they might have the best wide receiving core in the ACC, maybe. So I like their passing game. I don't love their offensive line. I think their running game is going to suffer a little bit without Nyheim Hines, who's with the Colts now. I think he was a difference maker for them. And then on defense, I just think a program like NC State, which, yes, they did recruit very well, and I think that they are a little bit underrated in terms of the level of talent that they have. I mean, they had a lot of guys drafted last season into the NFL, and I don't see the ability for them to withstand that kind of personnel loss and that kind of star power loss along the front defensive line and in the linebacking position. So they return basically two starters in the secondary and nobody in that front six. I'm not entirely sure that they're going to be able to withstand that, and I don't think that the offense is going to be able to make up for that loss. The schedule is a little bit better than what it was a season ago, but still, even with all that talent that they had, they still only won 8 games in the regular season. So I think you're going to see them regress some, and I think something more like 6-6 or 7-5 is more likely. Maybe drop from, you know, third in the ACC Atlantic down to like a fifth. So it's not going to be a drop off a cliff or anything, but I do think they lose to West Virginia on September 15th. And then I could see them drop in a game where you might not expect them to, maybe October 6th against Boston College, which would coincide with my sleeper and bus picks. But like I said, I don't expect to drop off the cliff, but a little bit of regression from what they had last year, which I know Wolfpack fans would probably be disappointed in when you bring back Finley as a senior, who I think is like 24 years old now, and then your wide receivers that they have. I think they'd probably be kind of disappointed with 7 wins, so I think that would probably qualify as a bust to them.
Yeah, I have maybe a little too much faith in them, but I really like Ryan Finley and these receivers, and the game is geared towards geared towards offense and all that stuff. I mean, they're always good for an upset or two. All right, division winners, who do you got?
Coastal, went with Miami. Mainly, I wanted to go with Virginia Tech, but they've had so many personnel issues here in the past couple of months. It's been a rough offseason for them. Their expected two deep is going to look somewhat different than what it did about 2 months ago. And, while their quarterback, Josh Jackson, is going to be eligible, that's good for them. They've had some other personnel losses. So I had to go with Miami there. I really don't see any other option in that division. I don't think Miami is going to be quite as good as what some publications are touting them as. I know Athlon had them in the top 10 pretty comfortably, and I don't see that. But did pick them to win the Coastal and get shellacked by Clemson, my Atlantic champ.
Yeah, I had the same two teams, which is I'll go off on a tangent here. You know, as wild and crazy as college football is, it's becoming the same teams over and over again. Clemson, Alabama, and the playoffs.
Yeah,
and it's getting kind of don't want to say boring, but it's like time for some fresh blood. But yeah, I think Miami is just has too many athletes not to get out of that. While you know their schedule is pretty decent, if they could get past LSU, which we'll talk about LSU in the next segment. But Savannah State at Toledo and FIU round out their non-conference schedule. You get North Carolina at home on a Thursday night. Florida State's at home at Virginia, at Boston College, and then Duke at Georgia Tech, at Virginia Tech, at Pittsburgh. So you miss Clemson, North Carolina State. You miss a lot of those guys out of the Atlantic that would throw a wrench in their spokes, and they take care of LSU in Arlington, and maybe it comes down to that Florida State game and probably that Virginia Tech game as well, but we'll see. You know, they have a good bye week too in the middle of the year, October 20th. And Clemson is, I mean, they're Clemson. They're loaded, and you know, unless they trip themselves up or somebody gets hurt, they should be representing the Atlantic division. All right, on to the SEC. This segment just means more TJ because it is the SEC.
Yes, just ask them.
Yep, it just means more. Let's see. Let's start with most interesting team. I actually am going to take a two-parter. I think LSU is an interesting team, and not for the right reasons. And I think Mississippi State, and it's interesting to just, you know, they're bringing in Joe Moorhead. They have a lot of returners on offense, and could make some noise in the West. But LSU, you know, where the heck does LSU go this year? If they don't succeed, you know, the Ed Orgeron hiring was questionable at best. They lose a lot off of the team from last year that did not perform all that well, even though they went 9-4 with a bowl. Well, they lost to Notre Dame in the bowl game, but you know, it was a 9-win team, but you get smoked by Alabama 24-10. You get smoked by Mississippi State 37-7. They lost to Troy, and then they lose to Notre Dame in the bowl game to go 9-4. So they're bringing in Joe Burrow from Ohio State. How he does probably sets the tone for the year. If he struggles, LSU is going to have a hard time. They lose Darius Geis from last year. They lose their top four rushers, and that's including Danny Etling. They bring back Miles Brennan. They lose their top three receivers as well. And then they lose, six out of their top nine tacklers from a year ago. So there's going to be a lot of turnover. We'll see how Ed Orgeron is going to do recruiting-wise, how his players that he recruited do. But where do you go? This is the guy that LSU apparently wanted. They gave a big contract to. They bid it against themselves. And if this team goes 7-5 or 8-4 or 6-6 or whatever, they're gonna have a mess on their hands. I mean, LSU and the Louisiana State Education Department—they're already basically broke. And where do they go? So they got Miami to start the season in Arlington, Southeast Louisiana. They have to go to Auburn. Then they get Louisiana Tech, Mississippi. They have to go to Florida. They have to go to Texas A&M to close out the year. I mean, they're looking at the schedule. You can win four losses: Miami, Auburn, Florida, Alabama, and then you could even probably throw in a couple more with Texas A&M and Georgia at home. So there's like six. If you're really, really pessimistic about LSU, there are six games that they're probably dogged in. Miami, at Auburn, at Florida, Georgia at home, which I think they'll be a home underdog. Alabama at home, which will be a home underdog. And at Texas A&M. To me, it's – sure, I like LSU. They were my first college football team that I really, really loved. But, man, where the heck do they go after Ed Orgeron? And do they have the guts to fire him? Do they have the money to fire him and all that stuff? So it seems like LSU's run in the West is coming to an end, if it hasn't already. And that's why they're one of my most interesting teams. And then to go on to Mississippi State, bring in Joe Moorhead, who really turned around the Penn State offense and really did wonders with quarterback there, Saquon Barkley, and that offense. They have a senior quarterback, senior running back, upperclassmen all over the field on offense, bring back most of their defense as well. Their schedule is pretty favorable for being in the SEC West. Got Stephen F. Austin at Kansas State, Louisiana at home, at Kentucky, Florida at home, Auburn at home, and then you have to travel at LSU and at Alabama and then the Egg Bowl Thanksgiving night at Mississippi. This is as a transition year for Mississippi State, which is a school that traditionally in these transition years slips, can have a pretty good year. And that's why I put them with LSU as one of my most interesting teams in the SEC, because there seem to be on two different paths. If Mississippi State gets through the year with 8 or 9 wins, they can really take off in recruiting. LSU struggles to 6, maybe 7 wins. They're probably looking at a rebuilding job.
That all makes sense. I agree with it. Really love Nick Fitzgerald. I hope that he's able to be back to 100% after that gruesome injury he suffered last season. It certainly sounds like he is, and that's great because he's a perfect fit for what Joe Moorhead wants to do, and his play calling at Penn State I thought was fantastic. I really enjoyed – I don't like Penn State at all, but – just, you know, in spite of that, I loved watching Penn State on offense. I thought that they were really innovative and used their pieces really well. And I have a ton of faith that Joe Moorhead's going to do the same now as the head coach of Mississippi State. I thought it was a good hire that made a lot of sense for them. You know, the X's and O's part made a ton of sense. Can he recruit in that conference? We'll find out. But I think they're in line for a big season. You mentioned their schedule. Really like their personnel. Offensively, Aris Williams, a really good running back, underrated part of what they do. Kylan Hill's a good backup. Line is returning everybody but their left tackle. And the guy they're plugging in there, they've got a lot of faith in. And then I just trust Nick Fitzgerald to figure out what he needs to do in the big moment. And on defense, the defensive line is probably second or third best in the conference. Montez Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons are the bookends there. Good secondary. Not a lot of questions for Mississippi State. And for me, if your question mark is, well, can they transition under Joe Moorhead, I just think Joe Moorhead's a good coach, so I'd say yes. And I think Mississippi State is in line for a really good season.
Yeah, and with them – you know, being in the West, you're not going to recruit as well as, recruit as well as LSU, Alabama, Auburn. You're going to have to find your diamonds in the rough and develop them as best as you can. I think Joe Moorhead has shown at Penn State he's done that on offense. So, you know, a lot of intrigue there. All right. Best non-conference game. Again, slim pickings. I had Mizzou at Purdue with a question mark, but Auburn at Washington is probably the marquee game. It's in Atlanta. It's one of those kickoff classic, Chick-fil-A kickoff classics. So it's two probably top 10, top 15 teams going at it to open the season. And that's my most – or best non-conference game. If you like points, you probably want to watch Missouri at Purdue. Again, we talked about Purdue last segment with their non-conference against Boston College. They they have scheduled, they have a difficult schedule this year at Purdue.
Yeah.
They also have Mizzou coming in, who is a solid team. Purdue handled them well last year. I think it's 35-0 or 42-7 the year before. But Auburn, Washington, the non-conference game I would have circled.
Yep, that's what I chose as well. I mean, for me, it's a really, really big game for the Pac-12. They need that one. They need Washington to win that game. Washington, I think, is a potential playoff team. We'll get to our playoff pick at some point, so no need to give that away. But Washington certainly has those aspirations, as does Auburn. And, you know, a loss in week one puts you in the hole. And for the Pac-12, they need that one to show, hey, we can compete at this level. Auburn, more or less, it's a home game for them, whereas Washington coming across the country. And I'll get into Auburn a little bit later. But, you know, that's a game that they're going to need to get, given some of the road trips they've got. So that one's very interesting. And I went with that as my best non-con game as well. Certainly the one of the highlights of week one.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if we went most overrated game, it'd probably be Alabama-Louisville.
I'm not interested in that at all.
No.
Bloodbath.
Yeah, it's that's take Alabama and the points and take that to the bank. Anyway, best uniform, I will always say it again and again, it's LSU. The white uniforms at home with the purple and gold trim, with yellow helmets. Even their white helmets are awesome. It's just that's the traditional look. That's the best look in college football to me. It can't get better than that.
I do not have an argument. I think that LSU is the answer. Really, I don't think that they have a bad uniform in their set. And they're all really good. So I won't argue that. I knew you were going to say that, though. So I went with a little bit of a different answer and picked Georgia. I think they have a really good color combination. Love their shade of red. Their helmet is really good. It's got that classic G. They don't overdo it. Even when they go with the black alternate, those look great as well. So I went with the Georgia Bulldogs. They have the gray, but they don't overdo it. You know, they throw it in here. You know, that's part of their look, always has been. And I think that it goes well with the red and the black. It looks really good. So went with the Georgia Bulldogs, but LSU is the answer. But Georgia's got some mighty fine ones as well.
Yep, and now best game day atmosphere. I think I went with Ole Miss last year. LSU, I've done that. I'm going to go Stark Vegas this year. It's a place with the cowbells, barbecue. It's just one of those places that you got to go to. It's not the biggest of schools and all that thing. It's not like going to Alabama or LSU or Florida. It's their stadium holds, I think, you know, 61,000, so it's a more intimate setting. But I would go Stark Vegas. You got some good games coming in there too. Florida, Auburn, Arkansas comes in, and you could really get the party going outside Davis Wade Stadium.
Yep, that's that's a really good choice, and it looks like a ton of fun to be there for a big game, which could be said for just about any SEC school, really. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a bad SEC atmosphere necessarily. I would have no interest in going to Kentucky because it's Kentucky. So outside of that, it does not seem like there's many bad atmospheres there. But I went with Georgia. I think it would be a really cool atmosphere in between the hedges, Sanford Stadium. And I feel like they're really feeling themselves right now. They got a ton of confidence in that program, and why not? Certainly Kirby Smart has it rolling. They're recruiting as well as anyone in the country. Not a ton of great home games this season. I mean, but if I'm choosing one, I'd say November 10th against the Auburn Tigers. Would be the one to go with, and but I'd be interested in going to there. And I'm kind of a closet Georgia fan, so mainly just because of old videos of Herschel Walker and just seeing those classic uniforms with Herschel Walker rambling around out there. And then I kind of like the, for whatever reason, I like their teams with Matt Stafford and then with David Green as well. So I went with Georgia, but again, I think just about anybody would be a good choice for the SEC.
Yeah, and another reason why to go to Mississippi State, you can tailgate year-round. Their baseball team is just as famous for their tailgate as the football tailgate.
Yeah.
And if you watch the SEC story for where they had Rafael Palmeiro, those baseball teams, they had their barbecues and ribs out in the field. So I know we have a couple IU baseball fans who tailgate all the time in Bloomington. If you wanted to do a tailgate, maybe find one of those fall ball doubleheaders and tailgate to the football game, go to the football game and watch baseball and, you know, vice versa. So Mississippi State, you could get them. You could get it all year round via the tailgate. And let's do sleeper teams, TJ.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of tipped my hand a little earlier, but I'm going to go Mississippi State. I don't need to continue to go on about them. I'm kind of all in on the Bulldogs, and I will continue to tout them. I'm going to have some money backing them this season as well. I do like their schedule. I mean, they have home games against Florida, Auburn, Texas A&M, Arkansas, and then their road games in the SEC. They drew Kentucky and who's their other East opponent? Oh, Florida. Yeah, so Florida. So
and
that, I mean,
the return
really
of Dan Mullen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've got the Dan Mullen coming back. I kind of think this team has a chance, and I am going to pick them to finish second in the West. Behind, obviously, them, I guess, no need to. You know, save that for any later. They're my pick to win the West. Shocker. But I do think Mississippi State finishes second in the West. And for them, that would be a terrific first year for Joe Moorhead. I don't think anybody's thinking this team's going to be bad or anything like that. So it's not going out on a big limb to have them as a sleeper. But I think that they, you know, meet those high expectations and maybe exceed them a little bit by jumping over Auburn.
Yeah, I pick Mississippi State as well. Hopefully they have a place carved out for us at Starkville for giving them some love on this show. I think they need to have the Hoosier Huddle, whatever, not memorial because we're not dead, but, you know, honorary tailgate down there for one of the games and maybe get
only if this works.
Only if this works. If they go 0-12, they're going to – build a statue to us and then burn it down.
We're in trouble.
But I like Mississippi State as well. You know, there's a lot of issues going outside of Alabama and maybe Auburn.
Exactly.
The rest, there's a lot of questions. Arkansas is a new coach. Ole Miss is, you know, has whatever Ole Miss has going on off the field and stuff, and they have their quarterback transferred and all of those things. They did beat Mississippi State last year, but they're coming off a 6-6 game. They're not going whole. LSU has issues going on as well. Texas A&M, new coach, new system. And Mississippi State is right there with the top three finish in the West. And who knows, maybe Alabama gets tripped up by somebody else. And you know, who knows, but their schedule is favorable. They've got Nick Fitzgerald back. As long as he stays healthy, I think they're pretty good for getting to one of these higher-end bowl games and kicking off the Moorhead era pretty quickly and pretty well. All right, division winners, and I'm going to say here we go again. You tipped your hand at Bama. I'm going to go Bama. Because it'd be stupid not to go Bama. How about in the East?
I would agree with that. Again, pretty obvious pick for me, Georgia. And I think that you do see so the SEC needs to be careful that this does not turn into a just a two-horse show every year. I don't think that that's going to be the case because the other schools do invest so heavily in football as well. So I don't think you'll be able to have Georgia run away and hide. But it kind of looks like that right now, Alabama and Georgia. And one thing I did want to mention, I know a lot of Auburn backers, and that's going to be a good team. But, I mean, listen to this schedule. They've got Washington, and then their road games at Mississippi State, at Ole Miss, at Georgia, at Alabama. That's brutal. I mean, that is really, really tough. So I don't see them as legitimate contenders to Alabama in the West. I really think that the Crimson Tide are going to be able to – no one wins a division easily in major college football, but I think they're going to be able to walk away with the SEC West. And then in the East, I'm going to go Georgia. And, again, I don't really see Georgia's schedule presenting them with any issues.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm going to reiterate, it's getting kind of boring that you could pencil in the same teams over and over again. It's becoming less parity to me among the top teams. I mean, there's a clear top tier two and tier three, and those top tier teams haven't been cycling through as much as they have been in the
right.
past. It's definitely something we're going to talk about, as we go on with these previews. But seeing Alabama and Georgia every year is, just pencil them into the playoff. Even if they lose a game, you could pencil Alabama into the playoff. You could pencil, whoever wins the SEC, whoever wins Big Ten usually, and whoever else, Pac-12 and all that stuff. So, hopefully – this is one of those years where crazy upsets happen and maybe somebody rises and brings back the powers like Alabama back down to earth a little bit. But, hopefully it's everything is cyclical, like they say. But it's the way college football is going, the way recruiting is going, the way that, finances are going. The rich are getting richer and the poor are. They're still getting richer, but they're not getting as rich. And take, for example, there are things that you can do that could get them, make them look like a football program that knows what they're doing. I was looking at tickets today for my mom to come out for homecoming and to go to a game against Iowa, $70 a seat. Which I think is absolutely – they have trouble enough selling out their stadium that you're going to price out all these people at $70 a seat and all that stuff. And then they're bringing in this catered tailgate with TVs and all that stuff. And, it's – sure, IU's going to get an infusion, but there are things that the great teams do that IU can do that takes nothing more than an idea man to spread out there and maybe execute it. IU's never going to out-recruit Alabama. They're not going to out-recruit Ohio State. What they have to do is do what they're doing. I think Indiana's doing a great job recruiting these 3-4-star kids who come in with a chip on their shoulder, getting speed out of Florida, and then develop them, and they become NFL prospects and things like that. And that's where IU's, you got to get coaches, and I think they've done a pretty good job under Allen and Kevin Wilson of developing the talent that they get. They're not going to get the raw talent that Alabama and Ohio State, Michigan gets, but there are also little things off the field that they could do in terms of pricing tickets, selling alcohol in the stadium, making football-only facilities, things like that. Scheduling, there's no reason IU should be down FIU to open this season. And I'm not making excuses for Indiana already. They should win this game, and it should be no problem. But this game should be in Bloomington, especially after what happened last year when they canceled the game in Bloomington and IU held the ball in their court. They couldn't get it figured out to where they could flip-flop the game in 2025 at FIU to play a Conference USA opponent at home. Those are the little things that get me angry, that all these schools that Indiana needs to figure out to get in the game with these big-time schools a little bit more. You would have had 8 home games, and if you win 6 of that, if you win whatever, 2/3 of your home games then, or 3/4 of your home games, you're in a bowl. So that's my little rant about IU, but, ACC, SEC, it looks like more of the same, TJ. Games that jump off, it's not as good as a slate as the last couple of years, but Auburn, Washington's a good game, and I think Florida State, Notre Dame, and Michigan, Notre Dame, if we're counting Notre Dame as an SEC or non-ACC or non-ACC school, those are games, on that first Saturday, I'd love to watch.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I think it's, who's going to be that, kind of that team that's in that second tier that, knocks off a couple of the blue bloods and gets themselves into elite conversation. I don't know. If you saw it coming, and it's easy to predict, then obviously that wouldn't be a surprise. But I hope that there's someone that can break through, so you don't have a playoff of Big Ten East champ Alabama, Georgia, and insert fourth team that is also a traditional power that you're just not sure which one it's going to be. Probably Clemson would be the obvious answer. So I don't know. I mean, the quality of the games in the playoff has been tremendous, so I'm not complaining as long as they keep delivering that. But, yeah, it would be nice to see, maybe 10 teams in the conversation, legitimate conversation for the playoff, as opposed to 5 or 6. But we'll see. As of now, it doesn't appear that that's going to be the case. So that's up to – and it's not like Alabama or Clemson or Georgia need to apologize. I mean, it's up to the other teams to step up and catch them, as opposed to those teams coming back to the pack.
Yeah, and it is. It's totally up to those teams to do the little things. Maybe get an extra couple $100,000 here or there, hire better, pay your assistants a little bit more, increase the recruiting budget, update the stadium, upgrade, facilities around the stadium, things like that, to where you're not on the same playing field, but you're on a more even playing field where recruits come in and don't go, oh, well, okay. Or,
if Alabama doesn't offer.
Yeah, it's those things. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And I'm super excited for the season and for the kickoff. But anyway, that does it for our preview show tonight. Next week is Pac-12 and Big 12. So we've touched the middle and the western of the country, although West Virginia's in the Big 12 and they're on the East Coast.
Yeah.
We'll go all over the place. So grab your frequent flyer miles card, and we'll touch it all. So anyway, TJ, thanks for joining me tonight on the podcast. That does it for us. I keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. We have our daily countdown to kickoff. Today's countdown profile was Nick Romanka, walk-on offensive lineman who could be in the mix for a backup spot along that offensive line. And we have all the news on recruiting, opponent breakdowns, opponent unit ranking breakdowns, and all that stuff to get you ready for the 2018 season. Anyway, follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. And that does it for tonight's show.
Thanks, everybody.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.